Lehigh Valley philanthropist and industrialist General Harry Clay Trexler once said, "You show me a book a person has read, and I'll tell you what kind of person they are." A wondrous observation. How about this one? "I like stories that make people think and feel and remember." The last two quotes of wondrous observation come from master storyteller and producer, workshop presenter, teaching artist, and coach, Denise McCormick. For Denise, storyteller is not a euphemism for writer or speaker, because she really does stand up in front of the crowds and spins stories out loud. The professional storyteller from Bordentown, New Jersey, has been offering her wonderful mix of stories for a joyful decade or so. Denise finds it fascinating how, through stories, individuals share unique experiences, and then they become common experiences for the rest of us. There are many upcoming opportunities to meet and hear Denise in the tri-state area, but notably, you can join her for her performance of Love Stories, adapted and performed by master storyteller Denise McCormick, exploring the human condition at Godfrey Daniels here in Bethlehem on September the 20th at 7 p.m. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Public Radio. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat this day with the master storyteller herself, Denise McCormick. Welcome, and so glad you're here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely delighted to share information about the stories that are going to be told at Godfrey Daniels.
And I was intrigued, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, when we think of what the average person, perhaps, that hasn't been to a lot of storytelling events or experienced it, might think of when they think of storytelling. I think what Love Stories is going to offer Godfrey Daniels probably isn't quite what they have in mind.
I don't think so. Most people, when they think of storytelling, come back and ask something like, "Oh, you read stories to little children and they pay you for that?" Which, of course, sometimes I do, which all of us do. But for this particular program, I will be sharing stories, not of romantic love, but of love between people, love of self, love within families, the dynamics of love, things that tear us apart.
And what was the inspiration for, I mean, because you've picked a few pieces and you've woven together. I mean, this is an evening's presentation. It's not just a story. What was the inspiration? What connected? What clicked for you?
When I first began reading the stories, in particular, A Pair of Silk Stockings, which is one of Kate Chopin's tales. Kate Chopin, if you're not familiar with her, she is considered a pre-feminist author who wrote most of her stories in the 1890s. And most of the stories simply reflect small glimpses into the lives of women and the people who revolve around them, their families, their children, the daily goings on. And these glimpses showcase for us the trials and tribulations that they must endure simply for being women and for having to wear the hats that they're forced to wear under that role.
And so love stories, why are they love stories?
These are love stories because they really do reflect the heartache that comes with love. In A Pair of Silk Stockings, there is a battle between love of self and being a mother with love of children. In the closing story, which is also by Kate Chopin, entitled The Story of an Hour, which many people might be familiar with from their gender studies in English classes, the story revolves around a sudden illumination that to have autonomy, to make one's own choices, is the most important and most cherished gift that there is, which should be a right of every person.
And so these two stories are intersected or joined by something that's more of a folktale, which is a little bit different, a Haitian story. And what would be the connection there?
Yes, The story that connects them, well, which is a little bit different because each of the stories is told with a different style. The first story, A Pair of Silk Stockings, is told almost with a tone of reverie. And when I read this story, I digested it. I could so identify with the character who's presented in this story, which is one of the reasons that I've selected these stories overall, is that they are so very, very relatable, that they are stories that we can imagine ourselves in or can place people who are close to us in. There are circumstances, situations that all of us have endured. The second story, which again is Philomandra, is a Haitian Cinderella story. Mm. It doesn't end with the same plot or the same message as the traditional Cinderella story. It does progress. There is a prince, and we have those specific character and elemental devices in there, but the message of it is very different. It still comes back to relationships within families, which are the core of our society, and they do reflect our culture and those things that we all strive for. And again, the last story is told nearly verbatim with the text, with the literary format of the tale, as does A Pair of Silk Stockings. But this relates to self-importance and self-love, and again, that freedom to make personal choices.
I have to say, having George, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I would just I would like to note, however, that even so, that some of these stories have been written hundreds of years ago. You claim that they could have been written by you or by any one of us, because they are filled with emotion and they touch the heart.
Folk tales, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the literary tales do as well. I had mentioned to Kate earlier, before we started talking here today, that one of the things that I like to stress is that the folk tales, the fairy tales, the personal literary tales are written on a spectrum. The folk tales you can look at as having had details that have been worn away, but the tales themselves and the hardships that people go through, the challenges that they must endure in order to win a personal and a community boon, are things that are applicable to all of us and that are so old and have been in existence so long that they cross cultures, mm-hmm. and we really don't even know where it is that they began. When we think about fairy tales, some people might think of Hans Christian Andersen or the Grimm brothers. And what may not be known is that Hans Christian Andersen and the Grimm brothers did not originate these tales. Instead, they had heard the tales, folk tales, and now they are applying details. They're adding details in that reflect the culture. In the case of both Hans Christian Andersen and the Grimm brothers, they have tales that reflect a Christian culture coming in. Moving forward to literary tales, we can really see how an author embeds their own personal experience in the tales. And in fact, many of the details that are in the tales by Kate Chopin, namely A Pair of Silk Stockings and The Story of an Hour, they actually contain details right out of the life story of Kate Chopin, the author herself.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes a tale built from her life as well, that thus becomes universal for the rest of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And yet these trials and tribulations that she goes through, that her characters go through, are the same events and the same challenges and the same obstacles and the same hurts that many of us go through on a day-to-day basis.
I'm curious, you developed the piece, I think it debuted last summer at the Philadelphia?
Last February,
mm-hmm. Okay, in Philadelphia. And what's the audience response? Has it been different than other offerings, other pieces you've created, other evenings?
It's been very different. Oftentimes, and I like to refer to this as stand-up tragedy or drama, I don't present these stories so that we can laugh at our own foibles and the things that were going on the way a comedian might, or with a twist at the end so that we get a good guffaw at the end of it. These stories draw empathy because we do relate to them. They're not told a first-person experience. They're told of experiences of other people in such a way that we truly do empathize and sympathize with them. We understand what they're going through because, again, we're reflecting on similar experiences that we've gone through. So in sharing these tales, there is a magic that occurs with it in that people are drawn to each other in the audience. If you went to see, or rather to experience, these tales with members in your family, you're going to be, I won't say overwhelmed, but you will have your family memories, your own personal memories within your family, the dynamic of the relationships between your parents and your siblings and other people, they will come to the forefront. And then you'll want to talk about, and in fact, the audience does want to talk about, oh, they remember when, and they are all connected tales. So it's almost a bonding experience.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. And in a sense, there's a community that's built that evening, sharing the story with you, sharing the story with them.
Absolutely.
And building a new story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it actually is a wonderful prompt. In the case of Godfrey Daniels, I'd like to mention Godfrey Daniels is on 4th Street, and it is considered the listening place, the listening place for music. What people might not know is that it's also a listening place for stories, and the Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild is housed there in partnership with Godfrey Daniels for the music.
Yes.
So in this way, these stories actually inspire people to cultivate and to share their personal stories.
Great. We're going to talk to you when we come back about the thematic approach to your presentations. And also, we're going to find out the very first story that Denise McCormick shared with an audience right after this salient message.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, WDIY 88.1 in Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Just George Miller and Kate Scovell. And we are chatting with Denise McCormick, magnificent storyteller. And before we get into our discussion, I would like to mention that, first of all, the presentation at Godfrey Daniels here in Bethlehem on September the 20th at 7 o'clock. But, you know, you can find Denise in a whole bunch of places, from what I found out. And you can find out, too, by going to her website. But she's doing Changing Landscapes in Easton at the Nurture Nature Center. She's doing a New Jersey Storytelling Festival September 15th. And also the We Are Strong Tellers at New Jersey CTE Fall Conference, in addition to many others. But one of them is September 8th. To the 13th, the Center for the Arts in Wood and North 3rd Street in Trenton. My, you are a very busy person.
I love to tell stories and to help people cultivate their own.
Well, you were saying while we were on a break there that what's interesting about being a storyteller or modeling the storytelling is that you receive a rush of storytelling back at you, so to speak.
Yes, because when people start to be triggered with their own memories of things that relate to the stories that they're hearing, they have almost a compulsive need to want to share and tell their own stories. And I think that this is most evident in the growing popularity of first-person arts and moth story slams and the personal storytelling that takes place, sometimes people just want to be validated in their stories to be heard and not to have it something that is necessarily something that's funny, but just to say, I survived this. Mm. Look at me. And that's actually another good point. I can tell you that as we are all growing much older and live much longer nowadays, we get faced with a number of different health issues, health problems, a variety of different things, which I could go on and on and on listing. But the thing is, when we do encounter something, whether it is how to deal with a parent who is undergoing memory issues through dementia or Alzheimer's, or if we are suddenly faced with having to deal with a diagnosis of cancer, the first thing that we want to hear is somebody else's story and how they dealt with it. Because if they dealt with it and they got through it, then we know that we can too. So that's also something that we gravitate towards. We gravitate towards the survivor stories, who are in fact heroes. So if we look back at Joseph Campbell, who I am just absolutely enamored with, may he rest in peace. Joseph Campbell, he coined the phrase, the hero's journey. And he developed a plot line, much like Carl Jung's, where a hero has a call. They can either accept it or they can refuse it. But either way, they are going to have to deal with it the way that we all have to deal with our life's problems and issues. And as we go through these ordeals that we have, we're faced with several different challenges. Mm-hmm. Each time we get through one of them, we actually are the hero who is defeating a foe. We are defeating the giant, the dragon, the ogre, the witch, the elements, all of these different things. And so we gravitate toward these stories because we are the heroes of our own journeys, of our own stories.
Incidentally, what was the very, very first story that you've ever told to like an audience of any kind?
The first time that I believe I had to do public speaking was when I was in grade school. And like many people in the day, we had to memorize some type of prose or poetry and recite it to the class. I had the poem of Paul Revere's Ride to do for my audience.
I had Casey at the Bat. There's no joy in Mudville either.
How did Paul Revere fare for you? Did you enjoy it immediately?
Actually, or? I did enjoy it. And I'm sad that I don't remember all of it now. I can get through the first several lines of it. But actually, that's a fairly long poem.
Yes.
And come to find out now, many decades later, there was a woman who took a similar ride to Paul Revere, only further and more treacherous, and maybe even a little faster.
Let's do some research on that, Denise, and we'll do it together. How's that?
See, it's the lack of.
Incidentally, how when you research thematically, how do you put these pieces together? Because some of them are called "We Are Storytellers," "A Connection Through Stories," "Changing Landscapes," "Love." How do you put these theme to these things?
They're actually all interconnected. The We Are Storytellers is a workshop that I'm going to be doing for teachers. And it's a general workshop, meaning that what I'm going to be telling them applies to all ages. The thing is that we are innately wired from before we're even born to tell stories. By the time we're 4 months in utero, our hearing is acute. And in the English language, which is stress-timed, meaning that we stress the important words and we drop the smaller words like and of and the consonants are heard like a beat to the growing fetus, whereas the vowels are a melody. Now, you might think this would be the case with all children who are to be born, but it isn't because we have other languages that are tonal. And so they have a different structure. So we are actually programming or wiring our children the more that we speak and give them access to our English language here for in the United States that they will need to be able to socialize, to have academic success when they get to school. It has to do with the immersive quality that is allowed to children, and its pre-literate skills and being able to say things in a multitude of ways and to build vocabulary and to chunk words together and to learn idioms and expression, that all plays a role in the literary, because if you don't know how to say something, you can't write it. So all of these things play a very, very important and significant role in a person's entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. And for the emotional value of it, it is the way that we express what we're thinking, what we're feeling. It is through our stories. Mm. When we're children and we come home and there's someone that we have to deal with in school, a bully, it's, this is what I'm going through. And if you're a parent, you might say, you know, when I was your age, and you're giving back the modeling of behavior, and all of that is the character development. So our stories truly do connect us. And we have more than our words. And oftentimes you will hear that, oh, 98% of our communication is nonverbal. And that's very true, because we do send out facial cues. We send out gesticular or body movement cues. That's all true, but they're connected to the words, and the words yes. are very important. Yes. Mm-hmm. So all of it together is something that informs. And since that also is on a spectrum, and this is going off topic a little bit, but all of that is on a spectrum, some ways of telling if a child is on the autistic spectrum is how they respond yes. to those gesticular clues. If you are near your mother and your mother yawns, who's very familiar to you mm-hmm. or to the child, and that child doesn't respond, mm-hmm. that's an automatic response, or should be. That's a cue that a physician would look at to say, you know, we may have something to look at further.
And so storytelling is really very important. It's to storytelling, and, you know, it's very important to radio, because we love listeners. It's true.
But it is true. I mean, I think that that's interesting. It's almost as if you're saying, or you're not just saying, that the ability to weave a cohesive story and be empathetic it precedes writing or
Absolutely.
Any of the other skills, because if you can't do that, it doesn't matter.
And that's exactly what it comes down to. Yeah. Storytelling is actually embedded, or should be, in every facet of life. And now today you hear with businesses and corporations, you need to be able to tell your story. Mm-hmm. And it's story, 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 story. And it's not just any story. And I know I'm going off topic again, but if you're a business and someone says, tell your story, they don't mean tell the business's story. They mean tell the customer's mm-hmm. story and how you got to be the supernatural aid to mm-hmm. help that person get along.
Yes.
And Socrates, according to Plato, said at one time, an unexamined life isn't worth living. If we get to a point where we can take a step back and look at our own stories and those things that haunt us and bother us and how other people have behaved, we can look and see how they were in their story and what things affected them, which really leads to forgiveness and all types of other healing that goes on. And we can also make a choice each day. I'm going to be in someone's story. Do I choose to be a villain? Do I choose to be a supernatural aid? Or am I just going to be part of the scenery? So this really, to think of your life and how you are in story, other people's story, how to connect through story, and how to help through story, it's all an integral part of just being human, and it's very powerful. Because if you think that you have the power to be a supernatural aid, the fairy godmother or Obi-Wan Kenobi, in somebody else's life and story, that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
And I would think of it's a way to be woven together as community and as a people, because we're all in each other's stories.
Absolutely.
For more information on Denise, we can certainly have people go to GodfreyDaniels.com.
Or your own website.
Yes, my website is DeniseMcCormick.live. And Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild is LVStorytelling.org.
Mm-hmm.
We also, for this program, are working with the Southside Arts District, which is another phenomenal organization in the area. And I do want to thank Kate and George for having me here today in WDIY.
You know, the goal of storytelling is really to just have a positive impact on anyone you meet, whether it's a smile, a laugh, or just a changed heart.
Or being Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
Or the fairy godmother.
We want to say special thanks to Charlie Kiernan, who is the president of Lehigh Valley Storytellers, for putting us in touch with Denise again, and we hope to have her back. Thank you very much for being with us. It's been a great pleasure. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for WDIY.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Three Identical Strangers is a fascinating documentary film. Talk about separated at birth. David Kelman, Eddie Galland, and Bobby Shaffrin are identical triplets adopted soon after their birth by three separate families. Three Identical Strangers uses home movies, archival footage, recreations of incidents in the lives of the three brothers, and interviews with two of the brothers, their friends, family, and those who may have been responsible for the separation of the boys. The triplets, born on Long Island, New York, and put up for adoption by their mother about 6 months after their birth in 1961, were allegedly intentionally placed in three types of socioeconomic homes: lower middle class, middle class, and upper middle class. The Child Development Center, New York City, run by Dr. Peter Neubauer, worked with the now out-of-business Louise Wise Adoption Agency to place the triplets. The triplets, and apparently others in the study, were tracked by researchers who visited their homes, gave them cognitive learning tests, and filmed their responses for Neubauer's research project, which included approximately 60 sets of twins in what was said to be a nature-nurture study of human development. The discovery of the triplets happened in 1980 at Sullivan County Community College in upstate New York, when one brother, on his first day of fall classes, was greeted as a friend by students, having mistaken him for his other brother, who had attended the same college the previous year. A newspaper article about the two brothers' meeting was seen by the third brother. Faster than you can say the Phil Donahue show, the triplets became media darlings, like some latter-day younger version of the Manny Moe and Jack Pep Boys. They lived it up at Studio 54 in New York City. They had a cameo in Madonna's first feature movie, Desperately Seeking Susan, and they opened up a restaurant, Triplets. Three Identical Strangers is directed by Tim Wardle in his theatrical motion picture debut. Three Identical Strangers is the feel-good, feel-bad documentary of 2018. Look for it as an Oscar documentary feature film contender, along with RBG and Won't You Be My Neighbor. Three Identical Strangers is MPAA rated PG-13 for some mature thematic material. Opening August 31 are Kin. Jonathan Baker and Josh Baker direct Carrie Coon, James Franco, Zoe Kravitz, and Dennis Quaid in the science fiction action film. A mysterious weapon protects a former prisoner and his teenage brother who are on the run. Operation Finale,